Hello, everyone. It's Wednesday, November 1st. In compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee, as published in the Hunterdon Review. The agenda was posted on the Township Bulletin Board, and as a courtesy posted on the Township website, official action will be taken at this meeting. Would everybody please rise with a flag salute, followed by a moment of silence for our first responders, frontline workers, and members of the military.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, please be seated. Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Present.
Mr. McKee?
Here.
Ms. Kohler?
Here.
Mr. Wunder?
Here.
Mr. Abakowski?
Here.
First up, we have the presentation of the minutes of October 18th, the regular session meeting minutes and the executive session meeting minutes. Any discussion before we... I made an amendment that I told Carolyn about so I can... on that one. Let me just see. Oh, there it is. I made an amendment that she corrected already on page 8 of 11 of the regular session minutes. The last sentence under presentation of the vouchers, it says Ms. Kohler asked for a motion to approve voucher. So I forget, what did you change it to? Voucher list or
vouchers?
The vouchers. Vouchers, plural. Anybody else have anything? Well, that was it for me. She answered my other question on that.
I make a motion to approve the minutes of the October 18th regular session and executive session meeting minutes.
Can I get a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, next up is public comment. Can I get a motion to open to... you did the executive session as well, Mike, right?
Yes.
Okay. Can I get a motion to open to public comment for agenda items only?
I'll make that motion.
Can I get a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Laurie Hoffman, Buffalo Hollow. I want to comment on the resignation of Robbie Lynn. I'm sad to see that she left, sad that Gina left. And Robbie Lynn, from the moment that Gina sent in her resignation, not one person on the committee, Thomas talked to her off the record, and nobody in administration talked to Robbie Lynn for 2 months. Well, really three, because Gina gave almost a month. Thing, which the lack of communication, I think, is really bad, and I think it's influenced her decision to go. She didn't know what she was going to do. I hope that will change in the future. I hope that you have no thoughts of closing the museum. It's a very vital part of our town. It's been open for 42 years, plus before it was township-owned, and I hope the historians have input in how you go forward. And then I'd like to comment on the bill back here again, the sponsoring. Is there any legal action? Like, so will our local police department be able to enforce it?
It depends if it passes.
But I mean, if it passes in the bill, so I didn't see the bill, and I know Abe was going to look at it. If there's no enforcement by our local police, it's... doesn't end, because I believe the truckers are required now to have that GPS when they're over a certain weight.
Anyone else?
For
Christine DiLorenzo, Cheater Town Road. This is regarding the resolutions, number 125-2023, supporting Assembly Bill number 975 and Senate Bill number 2643, requiring commercial motor vehicles to be equipped with certain global positioning, which was discussed October 18th, 2023. A committee member said during that meeting, it looks like we're supporting the two bills' sponsors. This is not about supporting three Republicans and one Democrat who sponsored these bills. This is about a serious safety issue. As a matter of fact, back in March of 2013, one U.S. senator wanted the Department of Transportation to issue nationwide standards for GPS devices in commercial trucks. In a letter to Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood, U.S. Senator Charles Schumer, a Democrat, said the absence of GPS standards for commercial vehicles results in many situations in which trucks use GPS devices that do not differentiate between roads on which trucks are allowed and on which they are not, often leading to trucks attempting to pass under bridges that are too low. So again, this is not a political issue, it's a safety issue. Another comment that was made was this is outside the typical scope of Lebanon Township's areas of interest. I disagree. Not only our little town, but the entire state of New Jersey should be interested in the safety of its infrastructure and citizens. Bridge strikes cost taxpayers millions of dollars each year. Just one example was March 12th, 2022, the ramp leading to and from New Jersey Turnpike Exit 7 at Bordentown, Route 206, was closed after a too-tall tractor-trailer hit an abutment the day before. Cost to fix the bridge, over $5 million. Closer to home, Commissioner Sean C. Van Doren states, quote, Hunterdon County has sustained damages to roadways and bridges because of overweight trucks traveling on them. In addition, unless identified by a camera or law enforcement personnel, Hunterdon County taxpayers are on the hook for the cost of repairs to infrastructure damaged by large trucks. Furthermore, in speaking with many local officials throughout the county, I'm aware of the many challenges posed to our historic downtowns and rural local roads when trucks accidentally or intentionally deviate from their prescribed route, close quote. Bridge strikes also cause delays in travel time for commuters, interruption of commerce, not to mention injury or loss of life, costs related to equipment and cargo damages and insurance premiums, the potential loss of a driver, and damages to reputation. So I was interested in what the U.S. Department of Transportation had to say. I went to their website. And the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, the FMCSA, has a question on their website, which is, why is FMCSA concerned about bridge strikes? Their answer, the agency views bridge strikes as a serious safety hazard resulting in injury and loss of life, damage to infrastructure, interruption of commerce, and delays in travel times. The FMCSA believes bridge strikes are avoidable through better awareness of route restrictions along travel paths gained by paying closer attention to road signs and by the use of only those electronic navigation systems intended for trucks and buses. So, will bridge strikes totally cease when truckers rely on technology designated for commercial vehicles? No. But it's a step in the right direction. Some companies now train their truckers on these devices as part of their education training. And some of these GPS navigation systems also allow truckers to immediately update information if they spot a bridge height that is incorrect, which is helpful. The committee member also said, quote, not sure why this is relevant to Lebanon Township, unquote.
Perhaps the committee member will see the relevance in supporting the bills, relevance not only to Lebanon Township, but the entire state of New Jersey. Lastly, I have a copy of the Township of Franklin's resolution supporting both the bills. And they go into the weight, the problem of the vehicles having restricted routes and the weight, select group of vehicles with a gross weight, and they list their weight. But it says, be it further resolved that the township clerk shall send a copy of this resolution to all 2,600 and county municipalities with a request that they adopt similar resolutions in support of Assembly Bill 975 and Senate Bill 2643. Can I ask, did you receive a copy of the resolution, or is that, she's shaking her head, yes, okay. Okay, thank you.
Could I just respond since they were directed at me? First, I'd just like to reiterate, I opened my comments by saying, and I firmly stand with you, that I am against trucks hitting overpasses. I did say that last week. My point was that I don't know if this is the best way to stop. Everything's a cost-benefit analysis. It's easy to say, make them buy more equipment. I don't know what the equipment costs. I don't have any expertise. I don't have a staff like presumably the state people do. Maybe it'd be more effective to just quadruple the fines for hitting an overpass. I don't know how it's enforced to make sure trucks have it. So I may have chosen wrong words. Maybe I said we don't have an interest in it. My overriding thought was, yes, we don't want trucks hitting our overpasses. I just don't know if Lebanon Township has the expertise to weigh in and why we're using our resources to weigh in when we don't have the expertise. I don't believe I used the phrase that it could be political. I said I believe there's the potential for the appearance of a conflict of interest, noting that one of the sponsors weighed in, I think misguidedly weighed in on our election last year, and the other sponsor in his private law practice is personally representing two of our committee members. And there was no background given to why this was important for Lebanon Township residents. It was just put out there to say, let's vote on this for these two sponsors. Only two of the sponsors are listed in the headline of this. The two Republican sponsors, the two that I believe could have an appearance of a conflict of interest. So that was my opinion. I respect your opinion. I agree it's an important issue. I agree it may be a solution. I just don't know if it's the best solution.
Okay. You did say, quote, for political...
I may have, but for political reasons.
I see this as a preventative measure.
I see it as a potentially unfunded mandate, putting more restrictions on... And, you know, 99% of truckers that never hit an overpass, and as was discussed last week, I don't know how it's going to be enforced. If you read the Senate bill, or the bill, and we'll get into this a little bit later, the enforcement, some of the questions that were asked, you know, how is this going to be done? What does it say here? It says the chief administrator of the New Jersey Motor Vehicle Department shall adopt, pursuant to the Administrative Procedure Act, rules and regulations to effectuate the purposes of this act. So we don't know what the fine is going to be. We don't know how one's going to make sure that trucks have it. I'm just in no position to say, pass a law that every commercial truck driver has to buy something that I don't know what it's going to cost, how it's going to be enforced, and turn it over to the bureaucracy to enforce it, and even decide how it's done. Personally, I think that's how our state, that's how governments get in trouble. We just put these unfunded mandates. I agree, it feels good. It feels good to say, do something so we don't hit overpasses. I'm just telling you, I don't know, I don't have the expertise to vote either way on it.
Isn't that up to you to put all the whereases in to answer those questions and get it done?
And that goes to my point. If I felt it were important enough for Lebanon Township to use resources on it, then I would be in favor of using resources to get all those whereases. I'm saying I would leave, I would defer to the state, who probably has enough resources to do it.
Okay. Well, then I think a lot more discussion is warranted, and to also
if the resources, I disagree even on that. I don't think the resources should be used on commercial GPS requirements for trucks. I think that should be done at a different level of government where they have the resources, the Federal Transportation Administration, the state.
What particular resources are you talking about?
The whereases that you just said need to go into a resolution. Or we could pass a resolution that says, whereas we think trucks shouldn't hit overpasses, whereas this may be a good solution, therefore we might think this is a, then it's not worth anything, in my opinion. But I we have probably used too much time on a discussion.
Isn't there going to be some enforcement, though? On
depends what the what rules are promulgated to effectuate the bill, which we don't know. That's going to be done at the bureaucratic level.
You know, we're going to get into this with committee discussion at, as we get out of public comment.
Okay.
So,
gotcha. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Agenda items only?
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment. Can I stand here and do it? Can you hear me, everybody?
We need you on the recording.
Yeah, okay.
The only question I have is says commercial vehicles. A van, a step van that delivers milk door to door is a commercial vehicle. But it's a small vehicle. A pickup truck can have a commercial plate on it because it makes deliveries for the business. My pickup has got commercial registration with a passenger plate on it. But would that affect me?
Is it over 26,000 pounds?
No, this here doesn't say anything. It just says all commercial vehicles.
Are you looking at the, what are you looking at, the bill?
Yeah, this here that we're referring to here, it's just the bill.
Okay, because the resolution we have is vehicle weight rating of 26,001 or more pounds, or that display a gross vehicle weight rating of 26,001 or more pounds.
Okay. In other words, here it was vague. That's why I asked.
Mm-hmm.
All the township trucks will have to get the GPS in it then. All the dump trucks, because they're 31,000 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Actually, right? I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Well, the definition in the bill would establishes the weight, and it also exempts privately operated commercial vehicles, those operated by religious or charitable organizations. Mm-hmm. And government agencies, public or government agencies. So it wouldn't apply to the township. You know how government operates. They pass, especially the state, they pass bills and exempt themselves. Anyway.
Any other public comment? Agenda items only? Seeing none, can I get a motion to close public
comment? I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. And with that, I'd like to open discussion on Resolution 125-2023 that we were all just talking about, supporting Assembly Bill number 975 and Senate Bill number 2643, sponsored by Assembly Minority Leader John DeMeo and Senator Doug Steinhardt, requiring commercial motor vehicles to be equipped with certain global positioning systems. So I'm gonna, with that, I'm going to open it to committee discussion. I think we already heard from Mike. And I cleared some of the hurdles for Tom and myself to vote on this. First of all, Tom and I aren't going to benefit from this bill, and neither is Doug Steinhardt. And I'm very surprised that you know that Doug Steinhardt is personally representing us, because you're supposed to be recused from that litigation. It's Florio Perucci that was hired by Statewide, not by us. So how is it that you know Doug Steinhardt is personally representing us? But we can move on from that. Next, I did talk to John DeMeo about this because I ran into him. And a lot of this, too, you have to think about, it's difficult to find good people these days to drive. So things are starting to happen because of that, and the penalty in itself is going to be the fines that would happen if this bill passes and they put fines in place, so that if there is an accident and somebody knew that they were supposed to be using the GPS and they don't, somebody's going to have to pay for these damages if it's on a video monitor, I guess, somewhere in town. But I want to read something that I saw yesterday. This was from Paul Muir over in, he's the mayor of Bethlehem Township. On Monday, October 30th, at approximately 10:40 a.m., the fire company, Glenn Gardner Fire Department, South Branch Emergency Services, and Hunterdon County, Hunterdon Health Medic 2 were dispatched to Iron Bridge Road in Bethlehem Township for a reported tractor trailer overturned and hanging off the bridge. This was very surprising, as it is only a 5-ton roadway and extremely difficult for larger vehicles to navigate. Deputy 13 arrived within minutes after dispatch to find a dump truck that was hauling a large construction trailer with paving equipment had come down the mountain and impacted the bridge abutment, causing a skid steer machine that was on the trailer to come loose and fly off the bridge and landing on the opposite side of the tracks down below. The truck and the trailer then continued over the bridge, damaging both sides of the bridge in the process, taking out a pole, a large amount of guardrail before jackknifing off the roadway into the trees, rupturing a saddle tank, and spilling a paving machine and steamroller along the roadway. The driver was transported to a local trauma center with non-life-threatening injuries after self-extricating from the wreckage. The bridge sustained both cosmetic and structural damage and will be closed indefinitely until repairs can be made. The crash is still under investigation by New Jersey State Police. Due to the nature and location of the crash, multiple agencies became involved in this complex incident. However, all worked extremely well together. You got Hampton Fire Company, South Branch, Franklin Township, Glenn Gardner, Hunterdon Health Medic 2, Hunterdon Hazmat, Warren County Hazmat, Hunterdon County OEM, New Jersey State Police, New Jersey Transit Police and Reps, Bethlehem Township DPW, JCP&L, Mike's Towing, Washington Collision Center. Just an example. I'm not saying this happens every day, but it just happened. I couldn't believe it when I saw it.
Do you happen to know if that was a posted bridge?
It is posted. I'm familiar with it. It's posted on both ends pretty well.
So yeah. That goes to my point. That's not going to stop accidents from happening.
But if
posted, the driver should have known the height of his vehicle.
Should have,
exactly.
Weight, bridge, it specifies a bridge issue with the signage. So they chose to take the chance.
Like I said, I'm against that horrible, tragic story. I just have no idea if this is the right.
Well, the problem is, it's not a perfect world,
exactly.
And I know that there are restrictions, and if you have GPS, it's sending information out. But I'm trying to be realistic myself when I think about it, considering that it's hard to get help these days. And if people are using, for example, a regular GPS system when they're driving, I mean, how do you end up in a situation like that? I don't understand how you end up in a situation like that. So that's what I have to say about it. And again, the fines would be, if they pass this bill, I guess there will be fines, and then at least somebody can get a ticket for doing something like that. Now, I know you guys probably feel differently, but why don't we go down the list, Abe?
Yeah, this bill has been in front of the Assembly and the Senate for a couple of years. It's going into now, again, for looking for a vote. So it's been around and talked about for quite a bit. I don't think that this bill has to stop all accidents. I think it has to stop some accidents. And if it stops some, it's better than none. And I don't understand what resources Lebanon Township is going to be expected to put into this. This is a state bill. The only thing we're doing is supporting a state bill. I think I said this last time we were here, having driven, 45-foot coach, which happened to have the software in it from the factory to allow me to make sure I don't get under low bridges. It makes life a hell of a lot easier, and I don't think that the vast majority of these vehicles do not have this, but I think many do not, and I think this just brings everything into compliance, so everybody's under the same rules, And, you know, I'm in favor of this.
Brian?
I'm a no vote.
Tom?
I believe it's a safety issue myself, and I believe that there should be some enforcement. If that's down the line coming, it'd be nice to know what it is. But I do think that sometimes you have to use building blocks and get something like this on board so that we can see how it works. And if it benefits the residents of this town, then it's well worth moving this through. So I'm in favor of this as well.
The only thing I noticed about the resolution, and I think it's because the commissioners had asked for our support, on the second page of the resolution, there should be some changes if we end up passing this. So do you want me to talk about what they would be before we take the vote? Amen.
What was that again?
Who's making the changes?
The second page of the resolution, if we go ahead and pass the resolution, the second page, this be further resolved, doesn't belong here. That was something that the county commissioners had on theirs. They were going to send it to all the different towns, and then above that, we only really have to send it to the 23rd Legislative District.
I don't have that on mine.
No, I do on mine.
No. That second page.
Yeah, there should be another. There's
your paging is up. That's the second page of the minutes.
Yeah, we have to.
On the back page of the next page.
We have to talk about the struggle, you know, because I went through this today and I was like, we're trying to save trees, but I don't think it's going to work.
No.
Anyway, okay. So I made that. So let's just try to take the vote on it first, and then I'll say how I'd like to amend it.
You would amend the resolution before. Yeah, you
yeah.
Vote.
All right. Well, if yeah, you changes. Want me to do that, all right. So but I'm not going to be the one to make the motion. That's the thing. I'll tell you how I want to amend it, and if somebody wants to make the motion
well,
as amended.
All right,
then I'll make the motion.
So in the first be further resolved, it should be this the 23rd legislative
district. Yeah, because it was coming from the commissioners, and they were sending it out
right.
to everywhere.
And then in the second one.
Strike the whole second. Be it further resolved that the clerk of the Township of Lebanon shall send a copy of this resolution to all 2,600 and county municipalities with a request that they adopt similar. That was on the commissioner's resolution, but I don't believe it has to be in ours. We don't have to send it to all different.
You don't have to.
Right.
Your resolution.
Right.
It's up to you.
That's how I would amend it. So I make a motion that we approve resolution number 125-2023 as amended.
I'll second.
Roll call?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yes. Motion passes. Okay, next up, we skip right over to number 127 because 126 was tabled at the last meeting. That was a New Jersey grant resolution, so it's still kind of active. So with 127, 2023, resolution awarding contract to Diamond Floor Systems, LLC for epoxying of ambulance bay floors for the Township Fire Department.
Right.
So is that...
That's Station 2, the ambulance bay, which is the far side of the building. It's where they have their break area as well. The concrete slab had some loose concrete and pitfalls that the wheels kept going in. So they wanted to grind that down and make that area smooth and then get an epoxy cover, which will be highlighted with red and yellow kind of striping to awareness of where they are near the machine. And they've been talking about doing this for quite some time. I believe this was a capital request in the budget, and they have found a company that they're very comfortable with. And I think that's obviously who they want to go with. They've worked pretty closely with the fire department on exactly what they're going to do on this issue.
Okay.
So I think it's something that needs to be done. And Diamond Floor Systems, and the price that they got was $9,145.
54?
Excuse me?
9,000. Oh, there's. Oh, one of them says 45, the other says 54. Oh. Let me see what it. Let's see what they have on here.
54.
Okay, so we're going to have to amend. Okay. All right, so the motion is to approve Resolution Number 127-2023, awarding contract to Diamond Floor Systems LLC for epoxying of ambulance bay floors for the Township Fire Department for a cost of $9,154.
I'll second it.
I'm just reading it out. Do you want to make the motion to approve?
You said you made a motion.
So we're going to have it amended. Yeah, I guess, well, yeah, then I'm going to do it. All right, so I'll make the motion as amended. In your second it? Roll call?
Yes.
Okay, next up is Resolution 128-2023, which is a resolution rescinding Resolutions Number 99-2023 and Resolution Number 101-2023. And if I'm not mistaken, it was from the August 16th meeting. We had SLEO agreements that we sent to the school, and they had questions. The high school actually had questions. So then we took a look at all of our overhead and broke it down and sent new resolutions over to the school. So we're rescinding the old resolutions, and I know Voorhees is going to have our SLEO agreement on the agenda for the 28th, November 28th meeting, and it's over with the superintendent at Wood Glen and Valley View right now as well. Can I have a motion to approve Resolution Number 128-2023, rescinding Resolutions Number 99-23 and Resolution Number 101-23?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Next up is Resolution Number 129-2023. Approving the insertion of a special item of revenue in the budget received from the state of New Jersey for the New Jersey Department of Transportation grant in the amount of $116,220. And this is basically for Turkey Top and Mount Lebanon Road. We're expecting a grant in that amount. Do I have a motion, or you want to have a committee discussion on that one? Do I have a motion to approve Resolution Number 129-2023?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
All right. Let's see. Resolution Number 130-2023, accepting the resignation of Robbie Lynn Mwangi as Associate Museum Curator. I just wanted to read... over the past 4.5 years, Robbie Lynn has reported the following accomplishments, which is creating the museum's first searchable digital accessing system, allowing for the cataloging of thousands of the museum's artifacts. She built the museum's series of virtual exhibits and content archives, designed the Americans with Disability Act compliant interactive signage installed throughout the museum, as well as created innumerable social media and print promotional materials. She's been responsible for the development and physical design of permanent exhibits featuring artifacts from the museum's collection and multiple short-term exhibits annually. She's received also recognition as part of a team that won Best Museum in Hunterdon County 2 years in a row, 2022 and 23, and received an award of recognition from the New Jersey Historic Commission for making significant contributions to our state's history. She's also presented at the New Jersey Historical Commission's annual conference, and Robbie Lynn has enjoyed being part of hosting dozens of events and programs and many hands-on educational activities for children and adults, and in helping the museum become an engaging and welcoming place in the community. And I don't know, Tom, your liaison over there, do you have any words you might want to say?
I don't have anything that I'm going to add at this time.
Okay. Any other discussion? And if not, do I have a motion to accept Robbie Lynn's resignation? It's a Resolution Number 130-2023. It would be effective November 11th with regrets.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
Next up is approving the insertion of a special item of revenue in the budget received from the state of New Jersey for the Clean Communities Program grant in the amount of $30,795.62. That's Resolution Number 131-2023. 2023. Any discussion on that one?
Who applied for this grant?
Does Joanne Fasanelli, I don't, you know.
What's it used for? It's an ongoing program. We use it every year. It's for litter.
They automatically give it to us every year?
We fill out a form and get allocated. There's a whole formula. It's kind of a formula.
Oh, really? It's kind of pro forma?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And we can use it for a lot of different things. A lot of times, like for example, the police this year had the tent for Halloween Madness.
Oh, yeah.
If they're out there, and just the fact that they're out there discourages littering, or they put out brochures that have to do with littering,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have the pads and the pens out there that hand
that's
out.
Great. No, it's wonderful.
So.
I'll make a motion for Resolution 131-2023.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next up, and this one I'm going to end up turning over to Tom, but it's Resolution Number 132-2023, approving the use of Township of Lebanon Fire Rescue Station Number 3 for municipal water source for Boy Scouts of America's annual Klondike Derby.
Okay, we talked about this at the last meeting, and we have put this into a resolution to formalize this and memorialize it so that in the future they come back again, we'll have everything acknowledged here. They have asked for a few things from the township, one being that we have a certified water source that they could use potable water for the three-day event, and we do. Station 3 is checked, and the water is tested on a quarterly basis, so therefore we can provide them with a certificate that it was tested on July of this past year, and it may be tested again prior to their gathering, which is the end of January. The other thing is that the fire official for our township has requested that the Boy Scouts look to the fire marshal for an open burn permit, and that's something that they will look to do. And the last item that we're asking for them is to name the township as additionally insured with their liability policy. So we have this in a resolution. It's all in front of us. It's going to be good in the future if they come back and they want to do their Klondike Derby, which is cold weather camping on our open space across from Woodland School. So I will make a motion, unless there's more discussion, to approve Resolution Number 132-2023. Approving the use of Township 11 Fire Rescue Station 3 for municipal water source for the Boy Scouts of America's annual Klondike Derby.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next up is a resolution renewing plenary retail consumption license for New Hampton Inn Incorporated. It's Resolution Number 133-2023. And it's been, I had Carolyn amend it because it's New Hampton Inn has to have two N's. Any discussion? Can I get a motion to approve Resolution 133-2023 as amended?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next up, I just wanted to give under unfinished business. Let you know what's going on with the township email IDs for volunteers. We voted at the last meeting to have the licenses for the emails given to the volunteers so they could have their own township email ID. So this way, when an OPRA request comes through, their home computers and their emails are not subject to any kind of a search. So this we got it all done this week. So our letter went out. Carolyn, when did that go out? We had like 50... I forget how many volunteers. How many did we get back yet?
Still
10. 10, okay. So we gave instructions on how to set your account up, and now we will have no more communicating with personal email IDs. It's all going to be on a township email. That was just the update on that. And then I just wanted to also let you know that on the next agenda, we will have a draft of the employee manual and also the volunteer manual. And right now I'm working with Warren Gabriel at the DPW because he had some items on some of the requirements.
Oh.
drug testing for seniors.
Yeah, yeah. He said that we scratched out some, you know, Abe and I have been working on the subcommittee, and we scratched some things out, and he said that they need to be in there, and also some of the days off, even though the CWA contract supersedes, we want to try to match as much as we can, you know, make it as accurate as possible, and then you can weigh in, but I definitely want to get it on the next agenda. I would like to have this thing finished by the end of the year, and the way we are going to handle it, because some of the problems I had with that last personnel policy was that it was convoluted in a way that it would talk about employees and then talk about volunteers, and then it would say go into the section to read more, and then all you'd see are the volunteers. They wouldn't talk about or the employees. They wouldn't talk about the volunteers. So I looked into other towns, and I found a really good template that was Fairhaven, that their insurance company, we have statewide, they had somebody else had a template for them to use just for their volunteers, and it looked like about 90% of it would apply to us. So that's the route we're taking. This way we keep it separate, and you have to keep in mind these are going to be living documents. They're evolving. If things change, we will keep them updated. So that's an update on that. So next up is a new business. We have the Lebanon Township Fire Department coin toss application for November 25th, 2023 at 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Bunvale Road, Route 513. Do you want to talk about that at all, Tom?
No.
So do we? No, not really. Do the police know about it? Do they have to be down?
Oh, I'm sure they do. Yeah. They work well together.
All right. So we have to approve this application, I'm assuming. I'm looking at it. Can I get a motion to approve the Lebanon Township Fire Department coin toss application for November 25th, 2023 at 9 a.m.?
So moved.
Based on the fact that the county has already approved it, it's county roads, I would vote for it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'll second.
You'll second. Okay, roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next up is, I'm going to turn this one over to Brian because he wanted this on the agenda to speak about it, the local roadside tree management.
Yeah, we've been approached a few times here from the public in regards to the tree issue with the dead ash tree branches falling in the road. I think the issue exceeds just the ash trees. I think the canopy and some of the trees where we're actually paving blacktop up to the tree need to be addressed in the future. And, you know, we really don't have a plan for it, and we have to figure out a plan and how we're going to try to budget for that. And so I'm looking for ideas and input from the public and the committee to see how we can get some funding towards that. I know the mayor has been reaching out looking for grants and such.
Yeah, they don't really...
We haven't been very successful.
Well, they're more about planting trees in city-type areas than they are about this. Now, I did see something come through from our engineer today that I didn't open up yet. It was at the end of the day about now they want, the state wants some kind of tree ordinance, but we have a tree ordinance.
No, this just has to do with the tier change.
So what does the trees have to... Because they were saying we don't have to... That was going to become the priority now over the tier change is what it looked like.
No.
Because I didn't read it.
As part of the changing of the tier A, they haven't finalized it, but there's a – you're going to love it.
Oh, God. I don't even want to know.
Right. There's a requirement that you adopt a tree removal ordinance. That no one's seen it yet because they have these templates, but they haven't finalized it.
Where's this money going to come from?
Exactly.
So this tree removal ordinance will impact the Lebanon Township budget or the citizens?
Well, it depends. I haven't seen the template because they haven't drafted it yet.
Oh, my God.
At the next meeting, there's going to be a series of ordinances that you all will be introducing came about as a result of the tier change. Most significant was the stormwater, which you have stormwater one now as a tier B. They're not so much dissimilar. It's just it's like 30 pages, right? But you have to go through and then you'll see there's other ones. But one of the things that the additional ones is this tree removal permit. That template has not been sent out yet.
Did they even tell you what it kind of is about? What's the objective?
My guess is, knowing the state, requiring if trees are going to be removed, that the property owner get a permit from the municipality, so the municipality can sort of monitor who's taking trees and how many, probably requiring a replacement depending on the caliper of the tree and the type of the tree, and then probably trying to define historical trees, because certain trees are historical depending on size, type, right? And then there's always that. That's typically what these are. It's supposed to be coming out in January. That's all I know.
Well, the other thing, too, is I was looking. I didn't even ever know that we had a tree ordinance, and we do have one. So I was looking at that today, and it makes you realize there are cases where you have to get, it looks like, a permit, because if you have a slope that's greater than a 25-whatever-it-is incline, and it could end up causing erosion, then you, even if it's in the right of way and you can take it out, you really can't without talking to somebody first or zoning permit. I just kind of did the Evelyn Wood skim reading today on that, but there are a lot of, I think before this whole tree thing, I don't want to see a bad storm, you know, take out a lot of trees and cause a lot of problems and worse. But I think going forward, we have to look at our ordinance, see if that needs to be updated. Now we have this overlay.
Well, I think you first have to see what comes out of the state, because I think a lot of those items that are probably in your removal, your tree permit, are going to be superseded by that.
True.
State ordinance, right?
Right.
And it may be some of the tree removal had to do with slope. I don't know if you have a slope ordinance. You probably do.
That's probably what
it was, the slope ordinance, right, dealing with that. But, you know, it's probably going to be somewhat onerous, just like when you see these ordinances like pet waste and bird waste, and you have to go pick it up, and you have to have containers in certain locations, and
Okay, well, anyway, moving on.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
But I want to differentiate between two kinds of trees.
Okay.
There's the tree that a resident wants to remove, a perfectly good tree somewhere on their property,
right,
where they would require a permit. But then there's the issue of the ash trees, which are dead.
Right.
And I can't believe you need a permit to take down
the usually, again, this is my experience, usually in the tree removal ordinances, that if there's a dead or dying, or let's say there's a storm and there's a damage, right, you can remove those trees. Matter of fact, most times with dead and dying trees, they, by definition, are a potential problem, especially if they're located near the road.
Right.
Towns can usually enforce it and say, give you notice, hey, take down your tree, because it's dead and dying. It may fall into the roadway, especially if it's within 10 feet, and you can do that. Can't recall if you guys, if the township has a similar ordinance. And then the town, if not, then the town can remove it. And then, you know, then the property owner gets lien, just like if like anything else. Problem with that is those trees, especially if they're big, cost a lot of money, right?
We have lots of them.
Right. So there's usually an exception for those types of situations, if it's a damaged tree or if it's a dead and dying or tree as well.
Agricultural, too, if it's on
farming. Right. Well, if you're a tree farm, right, that's totally different. But it's usually geared towards, right, if you have a tree and all of a sudden, you know, you want to take that tree down, okay, you can take it down, but now you're going to have to replace it with two trees or three trees, depending on the variety and the caliper. That's usually the way they're written. And knowing the state, that's my guess, it's going to be similar to that.
So is there any other discussion?
Yeah, I got more, sir.
Okay.
This year is the first year we put money in the budget that I've been complaining about trees since 2010. We put $40,000 in the budget, and we had, we're going to actually be proving this tonight, Tree King. So far, we've taken down 19 trees, and these are very large trees, and it's cost us so far $22,350, just to give you an idea of how far that money may or may not go. You know, we have caps on our budget, so we have to figure out if we can do a yearly budget towards this somehow, or if we're going to need to borrow money, do some kind of a bond or something, and try to spread a little money out. to get a real jump on this, because it's not just the ash trees. These are trees that are near the power lines on the edges of the road, leaning terribly, split. So, you know, ash trees are one issue, but all the trees really need to be addressed.
Any other discussion? Okay. Well, with that, we'll just we have a special executive session we'd like to plan for police interviews at the November 15th meeting, starting at 6 o'clock. Is everybody okay with that time frame?
Mm-hmm.
Can I get a motion to have a special executive session set up November 15th at 6 o'clock?
So moved for the police department interviews.
Yeah, roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And with that, we move on to presentation of the vouchers.
I have one above $1,000. I have the fourth quarter county open space tax that we collect and send to the county for $90,718.50.
I have one here for the county of Hunterdon for county taxes for the fourth quarter, $949,877.56. I have one for Liftoff LLC, which is the 60 email licenses for the volunteers, $1,440.
How'd you get that one? I should have gotten, I should have gotten that one. That's,
yeah,
that's okay.
Be
my guest. Yeah.
And the last one I have here is the Shared Court, Township of Clinton, $6,525. This is for the fourth quarter of 2023.
Okay, you have Tree King Trees, $22,350. Griffith Allied Trucking, gasoline, $1,429.78. Griffith Allied Trucking again, diesel, $3,827.41. Gabriel Truck Sales, basically parts and stuff for DPW, $2,222.90. Finch Fuel Oil Company, and that's in the amount of $4,115.35. That's for the municipal buildings and the fire stations. That's all.
I have one for the fourth quarter library tax for $93,276.22.
I have none that apply. And the total bill list for November 1st, 2023 is $1,187,986.93. Do I have a motion to approve the bill list?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And with that, there's no correspondence, so I would open up to public comment. Do I have a motion to open the public comment?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Any?
Well, as you know, I'm quite a complainer about certain things, and tonight Beverly happened to walk in, and I was telling her in previous meetings that I've been very concerned about the corner of Mount Lebanon Road and Point Mountain Road directly across the street from Squires Point, because if you cut that corner too fast with a car, you would total that car. It was 38 inches deep. And it's been that way for 50 years that I know of. So in complaining enough, our Department of Public Works finally came in, and they did a beautiful job of filling it in. It's going to be great. They put grass seed on it. It's no longer one of those corners that you fear cutting your car's wheels too sharp. You won't go out in the middle of the intersection anymore. So I'm grateful for that. And I'm also grateful to hear that you've been putting money in the budget to cut down some of the trees, because, of course, you know, that's been my biggest gripe and my biggest concern. It's usually a safety issue that I'm here about. So I'm very grateful tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Didn't plan to say anything, but I have two questions and a comment. One question is, if some of the volunteers did not get the email for making a new ID, do I have them email Carolyn to get that set up?
Because
there are two new alternates, and I'm not sure if they're on the email distribution
list.
They are. Okay, good. So I'll just double check. All
right. You know me. I stay up late and do these things.
Yes.
But I did have the ones, for some reason, I knew somebody that had a name Grillo in my life, and I was thinking, you know.
Yeah.
Then I had to then we had to go back and get rid of the. Oh. But okay. Yeah.
Well, good. Thank you. So I'll just follow up with them.
Okay.
Hazard tree removal, Brian.
Sorry.
What happens to the trees? The hazard trees that are cut down, are they cut up and or are they chipped? Or are they hauled away? Or are they sold?
As far as I know, they're all hauled away.
Do we get money for that? Because they are worth money.
You know, I actually was not involved in that. DPW handled that.
That might be worth investigating, because even if it's just a smaller diameter tree, can be worth firewood and something we can recoup some costs.
We seem to have no lack of wood in the past few years because of the history issue. So,
Timber, ash is still pretty valuable, though, so might be worth looking into, trying to find a seller. Someone who can buy it from us. It's not going to cover the total cost, but some of it, maybe. Some of them might get chipped up. It might be firewood. But anyway, just a thought. And so this got under my skin, right? The Tier 1A change may require tree removal ordinance. Now, we do already have one, and it does have an exception for hazard tree removal. I have to be careful with what I say here. A lot of people seem to want to control what private landowners and people can do with their trees that they own on their own property. And so I think the township needs to keep an eye out for that and not just kind of accept things that come from above as a good thing for the residents. And I can talk more to each of you individually later about this. It really bothers me that this seems to be more and more prevalent these days, especially in the state, and I am very not happy with that. And if you need the Environmental Commission to review some ordinances for you, I think we'd be happy to do that. Or I can volunteer on my personal time away from that as well. Thank you.
We should also get the League of Municipalities involved in that kind of a situation to get strength in numbers. By the way, I just thought about that email ID. We have the new email IDs, but do we have, I don't know if we have the personal email IDs for the two people that you added. So we have to get to them. So if you want to.
Okay, I'll have them.
Yeah.
Lori Hoffman, Buffalo Hollow. When will there be a discussion of what happens to the museum come November 11th?
More to follow.
Huh?
More to follow.
Is there a time? I don't under.
Nothing's
been decided.
Seeing on
yet.
This, but even in your executive session, it doesn't seem like it's ever been discussed. That's my concern. We don't want the museum closed for a long period of time.
It may be shuttered for a while.
There's mice in it. It'll start going into.
We understand that, but we haven't discussed it.
We have no interest in banning or abandoning the building and the museum. Huh? It may be a little delay here. Obviously, we have to.
But as what I've seen, there's no discussion. My concern is that it just keeps getting put off. I want to know that you're.
I share Lori's concern because I've heard nothing about it. I keep looking for it on the agenda for the past.
Yeah, we just
months.
Got the resignation
of the second curator.
Yeah,
the first curator was
right.
Early September.
Back in September.
Right.
And the resignation we just accepted happens before the next committee meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think tonight is the day that we can tell the public the next time the museum's open, November 14th. Is it open? Is it closed? How is it being staffed?
We're going into executive session tonight. We have a ton of things to discuss in executive session.
Because when you're listing your executive session, I don't see, I haven't seen it on.
Do you see staffing? Do you see everything that's on this backup page where it talks about?
Personnel, but I don't see that as.
Well, you might not see it. We know what it's about, so.
Was I provided for?
Nobody is. We're talking about it tonight, this thing.
Okay, well, I was.
This executive sheet where you have to outline what you're talking about.
Wait, I didn't say museum staffing.
No, we're saying. I didn't say museum staffing. I said staffing.
Well, I just don't want it to be. It's been 2 months now that you knew one left, and the historians have heard nothing what you're going. What is going to happen? And just being there yesterday, because I volunteered to work there, and to know that there's mice in there, and we have a. They'll get into all the paper that we have. So if nobody's in there, they'll be more able to run wild in there and start chewing everything
maybe
up.
Maybe we need to. That's the first I'm hearing that.
We
maybe
need to
we
address,
need talking about, address
problem,
that.
Obviously.
Well, they put out. The curators put out their own traps, and they've been taking care of that themselves.
And that might not be something to do.
So that's not
might be buildings and services that need to do that.
So it's. That's. I just don't want it to sit idle because we'll still go there and have our meetings. Okay. Now, you mentioned that because you're letting the Boy Scouts use the water that it's tested. Who's doing the testing?
Garden State Laboratories does the testing.
So they pay them?
No. The township does it because we hold, the fire company holds different events there. We own the building.
Okay.
We lease it to the fire company. And so we take care of the water testing since we're the owners of the building. We test it on a regular basis because pancake breakfast is there. They rent it out occasionally to events. So we wanted to make sure that the water was potable water.
Well, I just, because I
but
knew
no,
it
the
last time.
The Boy Scouts are not paying anything.
No, I'm not concerned. My thing is that when we were doing the water testing before, last year we paid for the municipal buildings to be tested, which me as a resident, Environmental Open Space suggests I test it once a year, and here we're not testing our own buildings, which we have employees in. So that's why I was just wondering who tested the thing. That was my. And on your volunteer manual, because this is something we've volunteers have asked for years and years, probably right before you've been on the committee. Will we get to at least look at the manuals before they're approved? Because I sent. Abe, back in January when I heard he was going to do this, all the concerns we've had throughout the year. So Karen and I, pre-Jamie, had worked on it, and then I was told Jamie would be working on that. So it's just like...
Well, we could look into that. We could take that under advisement.
Yeah, just so that... I don't know if you have that email. I could probably go back.
Yeah,
and find
it would be good to have because the insurance companies have a specific template. We can tailor those templates, but there were certain things that they... requiring there to protect the municipality.
Well, I can see what you're required, but I would like for me as a volunteer to know rules and regulations and as a chair to know what we can and cannot do.
Right.
Because it changes by whoever you talk to. So
I think it's going to be, next year is going to be a year of standard operating procedures, job descriptions. There's a lot of work.
I was just on the volunteers that we'd see it first, because I know you mentioned more. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're on this roadside management, and Brian was talking about around the wires, and we had the lady come in from Jersey Central Power and Light, and I see comments on... because people have lost their electric on Hollow Road. And they said, when they called Jersey Central Power and Light, they said, well, maybe you should have more of your neighbors. Maybe as a township, can we have residents send an email of all the trees that are by the wires and submit it as a... instead of us paying for to take down trees, that Jersey Central Power and Light should be taking.
Well, she said you can. Any resident can call.
But I think it would have more... authority if the township sends it instead of us, because when they're by wires, it's their responsibility, because they're saying they do it every 4 years. Like there's a tree which we had taken down ourselves years ago, they were supposed to come and take down. So we, on our own, we'd had to take it down because they never came back to take it down. There's still trees that have their ribbons around that they didn't do. So, like yesterday, we were out electric. Mm. because another tree come down. I mean, it was literally, like Brian's saying, hanging all over the road. And they came, Jersey Central Power and Light just changed the telephone poles on our road. They should be seeing those things. So I think as a if you got people to tell, send an email to clerk and just make a list, and then you forward to the person that you know. Because that'll take care of, should take care of a lot of the trees that will cause us problems in the township. Especially because it could come out to be millions of dollars if you want to take the trees down that are all ones that you already know that are literally dead and leaning on lines.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Does Warren, when he's in his travels, does he look for things like that or not? Do you know?
I would think he does.
You know, and keeps
a
list. I mean,
he's been in the road department for 40-something years.
They do the roads every
trees
day.
Trees were a lot smaller back then.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, Warren or somebody, they're assigned, Warren's assigned my road. They do it every morning. They go drive the township roads.
Yeah, because what you want to avoid, you don't want to cry wolf. Like, in other words, if we have a list and all of those certain trees on there really do not apply, well, J.C. P&L is going to send somebody out. They might. So it's use of resources too. But it's a good idea to gather if we have that information.
Have the Jersey Central Power and Light pay for them to come down there for us.
I think some of the power outages, because we've been having them too. All of a sudden, it's like suddenly you go down the road and four trees are gone. So I think they were turning off the power while they were cutting down trees. I think their JCP&L is trying to keep up with it. So, it happened on my road. I didn't even get down to the end of the road, but I heard that there were four trees that were there last week that are not there now. So down by the, I guess in you know.
So they're actually working on your road to do it, or they came down?
I don't know. I didn't see it. I just heard that there were four trees gone.
Yeah, they had to replace a pole because a tree came down.
Oh, that's the one from last week. And then they had to take the power out again. Okay, yeah.
So they're being reactive and not proactive.
Well, yeah.
I don't think we're going to get much out of proactive. Sorry.
But she came and did a whole presentation.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But, you
have to take
we get lip service from everybody.
But, you know, as a JCP&L customer, you have every right to notify them.
You just sent that over to them. So, yeah.
I know, but, I mean, Brian's talking about how he mentioned that they were up on the power line. So the township send a letter to talk to someone from Jersey's Central Power have more sway than me just calling up and complaining about a tree. Because I called them once about a branch literally hanging from the road. I think eventually Warren took it down. So, talking about using up our resources.
Any other? Oh, there's Keith.
I'm not certain if it's the county for the county parks, or maybe it is the power company, but we now have these rings. They're about the size of a half dollar. They're aluminum, and they are nailed into certain trees. And most of them seem to be the ash trees, but it always seems to be just along the areas that are now owned by the county park commission. But I know from my neighbors, the Hans driveway to Share Road, there are 24 of those rings nailed into the trees, and they appear to be ash trees. I don't know if it's the power company or not. I don't know if you know, but you can see them going down Point Mountain Road, too. There's not as many, but certainly on Mount Lebanon Road, there's plenty of them, and they're about the size of a half dollar.
Mm-hmm. Speaking about the county, that would be a nice shared service if the county would take some trees down for us, because they do have a bucket truck and trained individuals for that.
Okay, well, it could very well be. It's just that they're alongside the road, and it would appear that they would fall on it. It looks like the ones that lean that way, those are the ones that got nails on it.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Nitin Manglani from 62 Anthony Road, the NAR Group, Inc. I'm here tonight with an issue that I'm hoping that gets some light from this board. We are going into a frost tonight, and I don't have any heat in my pole barn. Like, we filed permits 3 months 3 months ago, so we wouldn't be in this situation. And we, our construction permits have been put on hold. We had to give up 2/3 of our crops to another farm in this town because we couldn't even handle them. It's, you know, I cannot find any other farm that has had to go through this hardship. And I think it's kind of unfair, but I'm hoping, you know, to be treated equal at least, you know, and given the same courtesies that every other farm in this town has been given. Like, I know there's probably a lot of questions. You know, we've been growing hemp for 3 months now, and it's, like, limiting us on how many plants we can grow or limiting our water supply and electricity to the building is, I don't know if the right way to do, you know, I don't know anyone else in this town that's limited on their farming, you know, and I'm here to answer any questions if anyone has, but I'm hoping if I could get some kind of movement.
So if I could, there was a there was an appeal of the zoning officers, if you remember, a few months back, issue came up relative to whether or not a zoning permit was required for the particular property. The zoning officer at that time did not believe one was required. There was an appeal filed of that decision, or non-decision, depending how you look at it, under the municipal land use law. When those types of appeals are filed with the zoning officer, anything associated with that particular application or stayed. I've had communication with Ms. Jennings, who represents the NAR group, about it. So I've been in communication with her. So that's the reason why the construction office has not issued building permits. I don't know the status of if a date was set for the appeal hearing. That's set by the zoning board, and they hear it. And I know that, obviously, they know about it because they've received a copy of the appeal as well. The question becomes, I think, from the zoning board's perspective, supposed to schedule the meeting and make a determination with respect to the non-issuance of the zoning permit. And then once that's decided, then, you know, then it would continue. But that's why the issuance of the building permits have been stayed to date.
Just one question with that is, like, is a township supposed to hold an appeal for a farming?
That's, well, I'm not going to get into the discussion. Again, it has nothing to do with the farming. The issue has to do with the appeal of the zoning officer's decision.
But if I use the same building to grow something else or do any other agriculture, you know, why should those building permits be held on, you know, just for a hemp appeal? That's what I don't get. It's, you know, we're growing outside.
So again,
right now,
the issue has to do with the zoning officer's decision or non-decision, as I said, to issue the zoning permit, and there was an appeal filed of that decision or non-decision. Municipal land use law has a provision with respect to when that occurs, and in that same statute, the municipal land use law, it also indicates that stay is implemented relative to things associated with that. That's the genesis. And I've had this communication discussion with your attorney.
But yeah, no, I do know that. Yeah. But I don't see their appeal moving forward. I don't think it deemed complete. They haven't.
No, that's a different issue.
But it's just they hold our permits for, you know, them not even moving it
forward. So again, I'm not going to get into the discussion. The zoning board is, they've received the appeal. I do not know if they've scheduled a hearing on that as of yet. But they do have, that's there in their jurisdiction, if in fact it was scheduled or not.
So I have to go to the Board of Adjustment.
Well, the zoning board, right, once it's scheduled. I have not. They don't keep me in the loop, right?
I get
it. Once it gets there. So.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But can't you put propane heaters in there? Heat,
like, it's 17,000 square feet. And, like, I can't, like, you know, have open spots here and there. So I've closed a 15 by 20 foot section that I've been able to hold, you know. But, like, I can't hold more than 100 plants right now with that. You know, it's, and I have to give up 200-300 plants somewhere else just to, you know, and I couldn't handle them. And so. All right, thank you.
Any other public comment?
Seeing none, can I get a motion to close public comment?
I'll make the motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And with that, we're going to go into executive session, resolution number 134, authorizing executive session. The topics will be acquisition of property, investigations of potential violations, personnel issues, and contract negotiations, and action may be taken. Can I get a motion to approve resolution number 134, 2023, going into executive session, authorizing?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Get the door, sir.
Okay. Oh, it's exactly 10 o'clock. Can I get a motion to reconvene into public session?
I'll make that motion to reconvene into public session.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. The action that's taken tonight is that we're going to engage Jersey Professional Management for a contract not to exceed $3,000 for personnel for the clerk's office. Can I have a...
Make a motion.
Make a motion for that?
That's that motion I'll make.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay.
Good meeting.
Two good meetings.